Let's all turn our Bibles, the book of Joel, chapter 3. The book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 9.
Chapter 3, verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down. For the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, for the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, our Creator, our life, our everything. Thank you, Lord, for assembling all of us, gathering all of us in the strong tower of your name, in the foundation of your truth. Lord, we are here, O Lord, to be soaked in thy presence, in the fountain of life, in the rain of thy word. And Lord, we pray, may you help us that we submit our everything for you to mold us, for you to continue to work in us, for we are all part of a process. If there is no process, there is no progress. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us that we yield, that we submit humbly to walk with you closely, and to let thy will be done in our lives without resisting, without turning back. Help us, Lord, today that we would like to be touched by your Spirit, would like to be pruned by your word, that we may bear more fruit for the land, for the people, for our family, for the loved ones, for all the purpose that you have put in our life. For there is nothing you have done without a cause. And Lord, we pray, help us that we are all walking together, chasing, seeking that cause, the perfect will of God, rooted in the agape love, guided by the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. For thy word is a lamp unto all our feet. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us in this journey today. We ask your spirit to break our heart, to make our heart. We ask your spirit to touch our life, to heal our life, and to cut off the things that are not glorifying their name, and to add on the things that are glorifying their name. And Lord, we pray, help us that we remain as a clay in the mighty hands of the potter today, that you add water and you mold us, and we follow the ark, we yield to the mighty hand of God. I pray for the Spirit of the Lord to have preeminence in the midst of us. Thank you, Lord. We are one family of God, united by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Revealed to one truth, we all received one baptism, and we are all called to serve one true living God, Jesus Christ, for Yahweh is salvation. Thank you, Lord, for clothing all of us with the garment of salvation. And Lord, we pray, help us that our heart is sensitive to your word, to understand that we are all part of the ministry of reconciliation, the bride that is going through the process of perfection to be redeemed. If there is no perfection, there is no redemption. If there is no revelation, there is no truth. And Lord, we pray, help us to understand the seasons that we all go through in this narrow path. There is a time for everything. And Lord, this is a time for all of us to understand that the process of perfection needs our heart to be completely surrendered in the altar of sacrifice. We ask for thy mighty hand to be upon all of us today. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so happy to be back. One Sunday seems to be 1 month for me. I really missed singing and dancing. Truly thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for all the wonderful sharing by Brother Paul on Fridays and Brother Rabayo on Sunday. I was listening far away, but I thank the Lord for blessing all of us by the word, by his seeds, by his creation, for we are all his creation. I want to thank the Lord for the safe journey of Brother Zoya to Tamariwak to Philippines. And I want to thank the Lord for my journey to Finland and Norway. As the Lord leads, by God's grace, I will share the wonderful experiences, wonderful testimonies that the Lord blessed with. I learned a lot by God's grace. And at this time, I want to thank the elder of the church in Norway, Brother Jan, and our sister Greta, for receiving me at the airport and taking care of me with so much love, so much agape. I thank the Lord. I enjoyed the fellowship there. We spent every single second that we had got in fellowship, 12 a.m., 1 a.m., all 3 days. And I thank the Lord for such a wonderful time. And also in Finland, met many people there. With God's grace, the Lord allowed me to witness his name, his truth, and people exchange contacts. And may the Lord guide us. I will share the testimonies as the Lord leads, when the Lord leads. But for today, I came up with the burden to preach the word. As the Lord put in my heart, I woke up at 2 a.m. today, couldn't sleep, went to bed at 12, slept 2 hours, then 2 o'clock I woke up because I haven't got adjusted the time schedule here yet. I was there for about 2 weeks. But I thank the Lord. The Lord blessed me to sleep again at 6 o'clock, so I had sufficient rest. Praise the Lord. By God's grace, we will refresh our minds once more before we continue the journey, the true repentance. Apostle Paul had spoken in chapter 17, 24, 20, and 26. Those 4 verses we meditated in the last Sunday before I left. And I would like all of us to go back to refresh our minds before we continue the journey again. Amen. So let's turn your Bibles to Book of Acts, chapter 24. Book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 15 to 21. Brother Clement, please help to read it for us. Chapter 24, verse 15 to verse 21.
I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offering to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else, let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, and unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. We started the sermon today with Joel chapter 3. And those beautiful, powerful verses ended with the last verse saying, "For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion." Amen. So, Brother Clement just read the verse from Book of Acts 24. Let's read this verse that talks about how the Lord weighs the actions, our thoughts, our intents. In verse 16, it says, I shall read, "And herein do I exercise myself." We are all quite clear and aware of the verse that tells all of us, exercise your faith. That we like to say that. We like to practice. But it says, exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. So that is how Apostle Paul presented how he carried his life, how he served the Lord, because the Lord called him to serve his people. Amen. He touched him, he revealed himself to him, but if at all the Lord allowed him to breathe and suffer and die, it is for his people. That's all. For the Lord to fulfill his promises through his vessels, through his children, and the Lord dwells in Zion. Amen. And the Lord dwells in the midst of his children. Amen. So now, if we go back to Book of Joel chapter 3, verse 11. "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen." This is on the other side of the double-edged sword, where the Lord called all of us to be assembled as one beautiful bride for him to come and take us home. He is assembling the ministries, the fivefold, for the perfection of the bride, for the redemption, and for the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. So we are the bride and we are the wife of the Lamb in the word of the Lord. And on the other side, he also assembles things that are not his, actions that are not led by his spirit, words that are spoken that are not according to his will, that are not glorifying his name. Assemble ye yourself. And Book of Acts says, do I exercise myself? And Jesus said, deny thyself. Deny thyself, exercise thyself, and assemble thyself. Different words, different context, different books. And when Jesus Christ explained to all of us how he separated the weeds and the tares, and how he gathered all the weeds and put inside the barn, he is also assembling. Amen. The builder of the wall also make the dead stones to become the lively stones, not just to remain as a lively stone, but for all of us to be put together with the mortar of love, the perfect bond of the Lord's love to unite all of us, the cement, the mortar, that keeps the wall as one single big stone. He is the builder of the wall and he is the gardener of the vineyard. He is also assembling, making all of us into something. Amen? For we are all different parts of the body of Christ. But we are one. The beautiful word that struck my heart is this. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Look at the verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. It doesn't end there. It says, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So what is this valley of decision? Who will make a decision? The Lord says, I will sit and judge in Zion. Amen? That's the next verse. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Verse 16. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. When the Lord spoke, I have not done anything without a cause. And if he had not purposed anything, and he would not do that thing. Correct? Because he had purposed everything in his heart. And he spoke the word. We are all created in him, by him, through him, for him. And the word was spoken. So we are just part of the demonstration, the fulfillment, and we are witnessing the manifestation of what the Lord spoke and how it is beautifully being fulfilled without any compromise, any delay, any failure, because God cannot fail. So in this process, the very last two verses, it reminds us how the Lord talks about Judah, but he started by saying, proclaim ye all to Gentiles. That's the first verse. Verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Amen. Apostle Paul was sent to show the light to the Gentiles. Amen. But how the verse ends, verse 20, 21, let's read it again. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, because the Lord dwells in Zion. The Lord utter his voice from Jerusalem. But the last verse is where the process of refining, the process of perfection, the process of us growing to the stature of the measure of Christ, the fullness of Christ. The Lord says in the last verse, I will cleanse their blood. Let's look at here. I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. The question is, why the Lord has not cleansed? I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. It could mean two different things. All the bad blood, evil blood, the Lord wipe it off clean from the floor. Or all the serpentine nature, the evil carnal mind of our flesh, the Lord is also washing us thoroughly, like how the book of Psalms says, the words of the Lord refined, purified 7 times, like silver and gold. 7 times. Like how the healings took place, go and wash in this Jordan. 7 times. 1 time is not sufficient because it's so deep. He scratches to remove, to wash us thoroughly, as white as snow. But when the Lord says, I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed, then who is cleansing us? The blood of Jesus Christ have become good morning, good evening, good night, how are you, everything okay, kind of a casual word. By the blood of Jesus, I wash your sins. Oh, by the blood of Jesus, I claim everything. By the power of blood of Jesus, everything is washed as white as snow. Every single drop that was shed on Calvary of his blood, every single drop of the tear that he shed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and every single tear that he shed when he wept over Jerusalem, when he wept, when he saw the love and affection and the level of faith of his loved ones, especially when Lazarus was called to come out of tomb. The Lord did not just shed his blood. He also cried for us. Even on the very last moment, he lifted up his head and he said, "Abba, Father, Father, why thou hast forsaken me?" He cried. He didn't say. The Bible says he cried out to heaven. Amen. So the question is, do we utter his name? Do we claim his promise? Do we really realize how we use the word of the Lord and his precious blood in our lives? Because we are the part of the word, how we utter our voice will tell the Lord where do we stand. For what we use the name of the Lord would uncover our nakedness in the Lord's presence to teach us how do we stand in front of him. In the same book of Joel, let's go to chapter 2, because that is how we started this sermon series. One chapter before, verse 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape from them. That is verse 3. So there is a fire mentioned here. So let's go down to verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. But chapter 3 says the Lord shall utter his voice from Jerusalem. Are we inside Jerusalem? Are we inside Jerusalem? We also can hear the word outside Jerusalem. But are we inside Jerusalem? Those who remained in Jerusalem shall escape. Amen? That is what Scripture says. Those who remained in Jerusalem shall escape. Chapter 2 talks about the fire that goes before them, that devoureth all the obstacles, all the barriers, all the problems, all the challenges, because the high way of holiness is prepared by the fire that devoureth before them. And that fire is the voice of the Lord. When the Lord speaks, the way is created. Amen. When the Lord made the way, there is no one can shut. When the scripture says, there is no stumbling block in the way of holiness, there is no beast can enter in the way of holiness, because there is a fire devoured goes before them. Them who? The people of the way. The children of God. Who uses the word as a lamp. For us, it's a lamp. Oh, I can see the light in the darkness. But for everything else, it's a fire devoured goes before them. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can stand against them. Nothing can stand in between them. That is exactly why when God told Joshua, "Fear not, be courageous, no man shall stand against thee." Why? Who is going before him? All the apostles, all the servants of God, when they said, "I come in the name of the Lord, I go in the name of the Lord," then what is going in front of them? Devouring fire goes before, because nobody can also come behind, because there is a flame behind. A flame behind, a devouring fire in the front. But if you bring it back to Exodus chapter 13, how the Lord led the people of Israel, it says the Lord led them by pillar of cloud in the day and pillar of fire by the night. Both are same. There is only one Lord, one Savior. In the night, he shows light. In the day, he shows them the way, so that people can see, realize, identify, discern with the Spirit, this is the way of the Lord. This is the direction the Lord wants me to go. Cloud by day, fire by night. And we sing the song, "The light of my Savior will lead me safely through the night." Are we all going through the night? If you are not going through the night, then why the Lord gave us the comforter? This fire, the very same fire, Book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 13 says, the Lord tells Moses and Aaron, I want the flame to burn continually in my temple. It's an instruction, commandment from the Lord. He did not request them. He did not say, if you are willing. He did not say, can you? He said, I want the fire, the flame to burn continually in my temple. The physical construction of tabernacle, the physical way of the Lord dealing with his people in the wilderness, in the Old Testament, shows who is the same yesterday, today and forever, who deals with all of us today in this wilderness, spiritually, looking at the temple of the Holy Ghost, our very own life, the throne where he sits, your heart, my heart. Amen? He wants your heart, right? He wants your heart that beats for him. And if that flame does not burn continually, if the Lord cannot dwell continually, then who will utter the voice from Jerusalem? Me? You? Our voice will not devour anything. Only the voice of the Lord will devour all the barriers, all the obstacles, make a way. And that way is called the narrow path, because not everyone can find it. But there is a flame behind, because once we follow him, there is no need to turn back, because he got you covered. He got you covered because Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5 says, the Lord covered his children with a wall of fire. A fire devoured before them, a flame behind them. No beast can touch you. Then why we can't have confidence in him? Then why we lose assurance in him? Then why we are scared? Then why we doubt? Then why we can't even trust one another? Which means some other fire going before us, and that fire doesn't burn anything, but rather make barriers, make obstacles. A strange fire. How the scripture define the altar? Let's turn our Bibles. Exodus 13, 21, 22. Let's start with the altar. Exodus 13, 21, 22. I shall read. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day. Which means the Lord has promised, I am not taking the pillar of cloud away. Because children of God lack nothing in the wilderness. If we know exactly what we are looking for, if we look for the pillar of cloud, we lack nothing. But if we look for some beautiful clouds that looks like some different beast, then we lack everything. Because he had promised, I took not away the pillar of cloud. It's there. Not just that, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The word before. I pray in the name of the Lord. It is etched in our heart as a permanent scar today in Jesus' name. Before, we are all called to stand before the Son of Man. We are all called to stand before the altar. We are all called to stand before the altar of sacrifice, and the Lord stand before us. And Jesus Christ knocked the door, you open the door, and he stand before you, and you stand before him. What is before? Not behind. Face to face. Amen? Looking unto the author of my salvation. Face to face. And we all will see his face. What is his word before? A fire devoureth goes before them. What is this before? And what is this before? Pillar of fire by night from before the people. Leviticus 6:13. Let's cover the word altar and fire before we continue. 6:13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, not on the side, not far away, up on the altar. It shall never go out. Amen. And Exodus says, the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, it shall never go out. It's there. The Lord won't take it away. But if the glory of the Lord leave the temple, can that be a pillar of cloud? Can that be a pillar of fire? Can there be a fire upon the altar? Without the glory of the Lord, everything else becomes strange fire. Because there is no other glory. There is no other divine fire. Amen? So what is the quality of fire? It burns down. It gives you warm in a cold environment. And it shows you light in the night atmosphere. It does everything at once. Amen? And also it protects you from the beast of the forest and from the enemy. Now turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 8:22. 1 Kings 8:22. It's a beautiful chapter which the Lord blessed us with in the fellowship in Norway. But the sermon was given to me in Finland when I opened the Bible, when I landed. I saw a beautiful sunrise. And along with the sunrise, there was a thought also put in my heart on 1 Kings 8. By God's grace, we shall meditate, continue to meditate later. But for now, I want us to focus on verse 22. The King Solomon built what the Lord asked him to build. But the promise was given to David, not Solomon. But David also prayed for Solomon and asked the Lord, Lord, bless my son to finish this work. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10 to verse 18. David asked for the promise and gave it to Solomon. And Solomon exercised his faith, executed the Lord's instruction, and he finished the temple. When verse 22 says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord, not the altar of the men. Leviticus 6:13, Exodus 13, and now 1 Kings 8. King stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel. So what Apostle Paul said, do I exercise myself? The conscience that he should have to make sure any offense, any distraction, any deception, any confusion, anything that is not the spirit of truth that disturbs him to compromise his testimony of Jesus Christ in his life, but to be very clear of his life toward God and toward men. So the king stood before the altar of the Lord, not there, not just there, but in the presence of the congregation of the Lord. Two in one, can't be separated. Because we are called the heavenly partakers of the altar. Amen? All of us are the small stones in the big single stone. Altar of the Lord. So what will happen at the altar? The king stood before the altar and he is going to pray. And he's going to ask the Lord, Lord, I built this temple for you. Not just to glorify his name, great King Solomon. What a wise man he is. Look at the way he built the temple so beautifully. All this craftsmanship that doesn't mean nothing. But Solomon poured out his heart. Lord, why I built this temple? Because you asked my father to build the temple, but you blessed him to pass over the blessing to me to build the temple for what? What is the purpose of building the temple of the Lord? Let's hear from the wise King Solomon how he starts his prayer request. So that was a prayer gathering, like how we all have. And in that prayer gathering, Solomon asked the first prayer. I want us to focus on the very first prayer that Solomon said, which is verse 28. Verse 28. The same chapter, verse 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, unto his supplication. I want all of us to remember Aaron, remember David, remember Moses, and remember Solomon, how a servant of God, a child of God, a vessel of God prays after the Lord blessed him to complete a particular work. There is a sequence in everything when the Spirit of the Lord is leading us, because it's a process. It's a process. And he says, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry, unto the prayer which thy servant prayed before thee today. Today is the day, Lord, I'm going to pray. You fill me, you touch me, you guide me, you bless me, that I utter the word that is exactly what you want me to utter. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day. How the Lord led the people of Israel in the wilderness, pillar of cloud, day, pillar of fire, night. And now Solomon says, let thine eyes be upon the house, that's all we want. As long as your eyes are looking at us, nothing will happen to us. My heavenly Father watching over us. Lord, day and night, we are well, we are good. Do not forsake us, do not take thine eyes away from us. We are done. The moment the Lord takes his eyes away from us, we lose his protection, because he cannot turn without a reason that we give it to him. God, who keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber. But he can turn his head away. We can make him to turn his head away. So when Solomon says, thine eyes, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said. So toward God and toward men, Apostle Paul is speaking, book of Joel, chapter 3, talks about Gentiles and house of Judah, and the blood that he will cleanse that he have not cleansed. And in King Solomon, he talks about day and night, he wants the eyes of the Lord to be upon his house. And he is bringing out the purpose, because every intent that of our heart will be weighed in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So, out of the abundance, the mouth speaketh, Solomon is going to speak. But who is Solomon? The promised son the Lord gave to David at Bathsheba after the first child was struck with a sickness and died, because it was conceived in sin. But Solomon was a replacement, like how the Lord replaced Abel with Seth on a different context. So now this Solomon, who received wisdom from the Lord, when the Lord asked him, what do you want? He said, grant me the wisdom to serve the people. Amen? That is exactly what he asked. When he asked that, the Bible says it pleased the Lord. The Lord was very happy. The Lord was pleased by the prayer, the request of Solomon. That Solomon utters the word now. He says, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. So what is our strong tower? The name of the Lord. That thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel. You see how he bring it? And he says, when they shall pray toward the place. He started from a singular person, talking about him, thy servant. I pray, hearken unto me. I pray, hearken unto me. Now he slowly moves to thy people of Israel. They will come and pray. And he says, when they shall pray toward this place. What is toward this place? Why can't it be something other, some other word? What do you mean by toward this place? Repentance toward God and faith toward Lord Jesus Christ. Why offense toward God and toward men? When people come and pray toward this place, when thou hearest, forgive. What? So the entire construction of the temple is for Solomon to ask a prayer. My people will come to the house. They will pray unto thee. Thou, you will hear them from heaven and you forgive them, Lord. So what prayer that was? So what they were praying? Seeking forgiveness, repentance, realizing their sins, understanding what they did, what they committed. So there was self-realization takes place when the name of the Lord is upon the house of the Lord. Amen? Then what is perfection to you? Strengthening our mind in doctrines. The contrary winds of doctrines can take us away from the narrow path. And we might be following some other strange fire that may look like the fire of God, but not the fire of God. King Solomon says, I built the temple, David my father died, you gave him a promise and he passed it to me, I finished it, done, let's all dance and rejoice. Greatest temple in the history of humankind, let's all celebrate, our reputation goes up. Solomon didn't say nothing, he said, Lord, thy servant pray, hearken unto me. The Lord says, what do you want? When thy people come and pray in the house, forgive them. All have sinned, fell short of the glory of the Lord. And that glory of the Lord, in order for the glory of the Lord to sustain, to remain, and to soak, and to walk in the midst of us, when a sinful flesh enters into His presence, you would feel that I was wrong, I am wrong, I could be wrong. He is the same yesterday, I was wrong. He is the same today, I am wrong. He is the same forever, I could be wrong. Because He is the only one who can do things right, think things right, and execute things right. As long as He is in me, I may do good. May the Lord bless me. May the Lord guide me. Why? We can't be assertive. The moment we are so assertive, the word humbleness disappears. So Solomon says, I built this temple as a place of repentance. People come, understand what they did, and they change. When they leave, they are better than how they came inside. They are growing in the goodness of the Lord much better than how they came. Changing from glory to glory. If all the churches, all the gatherings, all the temples across the world, if the place doesn't provide a pruning process, chastening process, cleansing process, washing process, run away from that place because God is not there. False encouragement, false admiration, false appreciation has taken away repentance from God's presence. Which means God's presence cannot stand in such a place. Because He is holy, in Him there is no darkness. Let's learn from King Solomon. He did not end there. I want all of us to grow, see how his prayer starts like a seed and grows like a tree. Now he talks about the people, right? Let's continue next verse. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. Verse 33. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, Solomon justifies that there is nothing that can happen in our life without God's complete control in your life, because the Lord is holy and righteous in all His ways, in all His works, to the point whereby none of us can say, I don't deserve this. No one can say that. None of us can say or think that I don't deserve this. We can't say that. Because the moment I say that, I say, I know the Lord is holy and righteous in all His ways, in all His works. Maybe I am not in His ways. Then, yes, it's possible we can say, it's not fair. In all His ways, He is holy, righteous. If that word is true, whatever happens in my life, it stands still true. That He is holy and righteous in my life. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. If that fundamental understanding is compromised, the enemy will come and whisper so many songs. You have to bear this, you have to endure this. The Lord allows you to go through this. It's all lie. When Saul was attacking the church of God, Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting my church?" Amen? He said that. But after Saul became the child of God, servant of God, Apostle Saul, Apostle Paul, there are only two things can happen inside the house of God. Let's learn from Judas and Peter. Judas betrayed Christ for something else. Peter denied Christ for his own life. Amen? Outside the house, enemy persecute God's children. Inside the house, either we deny or we betray. Do not use the word persecution. If I use the word persecution, you are an enemy of God. I'm an enemy of God. But inside the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, one betrayed, one denied, all forsook and fled. But it was not called persecution. Why? Those who said, crucify him, that is persecution. Apostle Paul, he was doing it when he was a Saul, following the orders of the men. And the Lord called all of us, exercise myself that I don't deny God and I don't deny God's people. I don't betray my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and I don't betray my brother and sister. Why? Because he is in them. When you go outside the camp, the Lord says, bear my reproach. That is persecution. But when we are inside the camp, what is reproach? We are all worshipping the name Jesus Christ, right? Then there is no reproach. But outside the camp, the Lord says, bear my reproach outside the camp. Why? People don't know me. They will stone you to death. They will spit on you. They will strip you naked. They will skin you alive. They will persecute you. That is the consequence of you and me witnessing the name of the Lord. Amen? But the judgment of the Lord begins from the house. So what can happen? Denial, betrayal. Case closed. Peter denied Christ. Judas betrayed Christ. Judas sold Christ for something else. Peter denied Christ for his own life. Selfishness. Selfishness, denial. Greedy, betrayal. Judas sold Jesus for some piece of silver. He wanted something more. More. Greediness. Peter did not think about anything. Peter thought, I could get killed. I should save my life. He forgot who is the Savior. But in all of this, which is ignorance? Where is ignorance? Jesus said, those who crucified him, he saw them and he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That is called ignorance. Can Judas say, I was ignorant? Can Peter say, I was ignorant? If they say, no repentance. The moment we misuse the word ignorance, we lose the fruit of repentance. The Lord knows whether you know or not. But the enemy will tell you, it's okay. It's okay. You did it without your knowledge. It's okay. No. We can cheat everyone. Our father, mother, wife, children, everyone. But there is one who can never be cheated. His name is Truth Himself. How can you cheat him? Solomon says, Lord, my people will fall. They will commit mistakes. Forgive them. They will come and pray. Forgive them. Church of God. Temple of God. Presence of God that allows the flesh to tremble in His presence. When we remember our mistakes, Lord, forgive me, Lord. Two types of forgiveness. One, that we settle right with the Lord. One to one. But two, what Apostle Paul said, whatever is profitable to you, I cannot keep within me. And what is that? I do something that impacts my brother, impacts my sister. I know exactly what I did. If I still say, Lord, forgive me for my ignorance, I will go to my closet and I will pray, it is done. I am only answerable to you. Can't escape him. The Lord knows in what way it was done, in the same way it had to be undone. And what way? He knows. How you discern? Is it profitable to anyone? If so, I must expose. If it is not profitable to anyone, if so, I must conceal. How come we read about David's mistakes? Tell me. How come the Lord allowed us to read all the mistakes committed by God's servants? If that mistake had a consequence among his congregation, the Lord would uncover. If it had no consequence, it would be secret, kept secret. Correct? Let's say we have so many brethren. Two of you who are close in the spirit of the Lord as friends in Christ, and you share each other your problems and weaknesses. That does not affect anyone. Praise the Lord. It has to be concealed as a secret between two friends, like the two cherubims, two in agreement. My brother, I'm here for you. My sister, I'm here for you. No, I'm going through this personal problem. I'm getting short temper. I need your prayers. You pray together. Is it affecting the church? No. Just between you and me? Yes. Conceal. But if we do something, we say something, and we forsake the gathering, and we leave our calling of the Lord's witness in the brother's life, in the sister's life, the Lord would look at very closely. If I amended myself, then why the Lord says, I will cleanse their blood which I have not cleansed? How can I cleanse myself? If I can amend it myself, then I can save myself. The teaching of the Apostle Paul focuses on the revelation of truth the Lord has given us. But there is a revelation of bride. The book of which talks about the bride will be revealed. Amen? Do you know how important it is? We are dealing with the Eve who came out of Adam. Am I correct to say that? The last Adam, quickening spirit. The first Adam, living soul. Amen? Even what happened to that Eve, that Adam, he was so obedient not to take revenge against Cain on the other serpent. He lived his life 930 years and died as a God's son. Did not do anything against his will. Why? There is one who is the judge, not Adam. But whatever was committed, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, he came and said, the blood of righteous Abel cry unto me. 4,000 years later. So the Lord forgets. Can the Lord forget? Continue how Solomon uttered the words. It's not Solomon. Verse 33. And shall turn again to thee and confess thy name. And pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. Now I want you all to remember James 5:16. What it says? Confess together, pray together, confess what you go through. But here Solomon says, confess thy name. How can I confess his name if I don't even confess who I am? When pray together, he together, that is James 5:16. But Solomon says exactly the same. He says, confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, not outside this house. Because there is an assembling process the potter is doing. The clays are being put together for the potter to make a beautiful, beautiful image that conform to the image of God. Verse 34, then, if they do this, so there is a process. Then, the moment you hear the word then, the Lord says, I would not go to this process if you don't go through this. You can't jump. You can't bypass. Then, if it is then, let's go to next step. Then, thou hear from heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto the Father. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people that thou teach them the good way. This is the way Book of Joel is talking about. God is good, very lovely to hear, but Hebrews 12, 29 says, the same God is a consuming fire. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a consuming fire. Amen. Hallelujah. The tone goes down. What do you mean by consuming fire? Say something positive, man. Say something encouraging. We are encouraged. God is a consuming fire. He goes before me, remove everything, destroy everything. I shall walk and none can stop me. How we find encouragement? You know how we people are so confounded? If we read the same scripture, we would say amen. If we read the same scripture, then we say, thus saith the Lord. Then we say, huh, thus saith the Lord. Hey, hey, take notes. Let's follow this. The whole Bible, thus saith the Lord. Let's follow this first. Why they're so excited? There is nothing to be fulfilled outside the word of God. He has spoken it, it is done. The excitement of flesh has nothing to do with the perfection of bride. If we can't obey the word of the Lord as it is, then you would never fulfill the word of the Lord. There's an extra flavor to it. None. It won't work. It's just a curiosity. Excitement. Oh, nice action in this movie. God is not there. When Solomon says, you need to hear them, that is the whole prayer of Solomon. Why? People can say so many things. God can shut his ear. Solomon says, Lord, no. Open the clouds. Open your ears. Hear my people. Forgive them when they call unto thee. Then how the people were calling unto him? In humbleness, in humility, in sincerity. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. We are waiting to see thy face. But Lord, we have a lot to improve. We have a lot to change. Help me to be pruned. Help me to be chastened. Help me to be a better person, O Lord. That prayer is what Solomon is using the wisdom that he was breathing to the people of God. And what he says, verse 36, thou teach them the good way, for he is the way, God is good, wherein they should walk, the high way of holiness, where there is no beast can enter. Because there is a fire goeth before them, and it is nothing but the voice of the Lord. And give rain upon thy land, the teaching rain, which thou hast given to thy people for inheritance. So what is inheritance? The Lord says, fire and rain, I give you as inheritance. No. I want some better house, or better job, good health. I will live 120 years old. Then I will tell everyone, God was with me. Jesus Christ was killed when he was 33. It's not about how long we will live. It's all about how well we live. Not for us, for him, for it is well with our soul. So now, this is the beautiful prayer of King Solomon. So he simply summarized everything. The temple of the Lord was built for the people to enter, touch the presence of the Lord, like the woman to touch the tip of the garment of Jesus Christ. And she was healed from the blood issue. What issue? A blood problem, right? She had a blood disease. You and me, we all had the serpentine nature, the blood that was mixed in the Garden of Eden. And who is cleaning? He is cleansing. And he said, I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. So, the song of salvation he is writing in our life is not over until he come and tell you it's over. Amen? If you are breathing, he is working. If you are alive, he is alive in you. But yet, you are being part of the process. The potter has not yet finished the work. That understanding needs the readiness of repentance. And the discernment of repentance. And the way of repentance. And the words of repentance. And the heart that longs to make things right with God and with people. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. I want to go through few verses of the book of Acts to refresh our hearts, our mind. And we go to the main chapter of today's sermon in the book of Numbers. Chapter 17, verse 22 to 32. My brother, please read it for us. Chapter 17, book of Acts, 22, verse 2, verse 32.
Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. But as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands.
Amen.
Nor is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings.
Amen.
So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us.
Each one.
For in him we live and move and have our being. And also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Amen.
Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness.
Amen.
By the men whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.'"
Yes. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. Chapter 17 talks about few words: ignorance, ignorance, ignorance. Because Apostle Paul is teaching to a people who do not know the Lord, and he is helping them to understand the altar that you are standing before is to some unknown God. Did you see the word? The word altar and the name unknown God. Verse 23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar." So, he said, "I found an altar." But with the description, inscription, "To the unknown God." Knowing Jesus is life. Amen. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is our true revelation. Who is he to me? Who am I to him? That is a true revelation. And Apostle Paul says, "I found an altar," but that is not the altar, Leviticus 6:13, Exodus 13, or 1 Kings 8, or Joel chapter 2, chapter 3, or Hebrews 12. No, not those altars. Apostle Paul says, there's an inscription to the unknown God. What is unknown God? We only call him one true living God whom we know. And he knows us. Amen? So Apostle Paul says, the moment we do something, we believe something that is contrary to the word of God, that altar will become something to unknown God. Why? Anything, any pollution, corruption in the pure word of God will make the altar to be inscribed with the name unknown God. Why? God cannot let his name to be profaned by any word. Because the moment we add something, it is not his word. The moment we remove something, it is also not his word. That is how the whole scripture ends. It is as it is. I am who I am. And now Apostle Paul says, "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship." Ignorance. And how the Lord called all of us true worshippers. Amen. He is spirit. We are called to worship him in spirit. And Apostle Paul says, if we do something else, like the golden calf, people of Israel built, although they are the people of God, The moment they wanted to do something with their hands, it came out as a golden calf. And Moses said, that is not God, that is some other God. Amen? Apostle Paul says, you are already worshipping some other God, thinking that he is a God, unknown God, and he found an altar. And Prophet Elijah called the people to come closer to the altar, and he repaired the altar. So what is this perfection? Now the Lord called all of us to be drawn closer to him, and he repaired us, and we remain as that lively stone as part of his altar, which is called the altar of the Lord. Amen? Now let's look at this. Verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God vindicated. Because there was a time the Lord allowed, waited graciously, patiently, because he knows the strength and weakness of our life. And when Godhead was misused, like golden, some craft, which is warned in the previous verse, made by the hands of men, like a man's device, as the scripture calls it, and the Lord was waiting patiently for the ignorance to disappear in his light. But he says, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Commandeth. If Apostle Paul had such a desire and burden now, as if there is no time left, we are 2,000 years almost away from that time. And how close are we? How close are we? The chapter ends by saying in verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter, as if they will have another time. Again of this matter, we will have our own time to settle. My brethren, grace is given to us. Amen? We obtained his grace to serve him. We did not take his grace to serve him. If the Lord reveals something to your heart to do good, you do it today. Tomorrow is not in your hands. Do not take it for granted. He is your tomorrow. That is our faith and hope. But when the Lord reveals something today, and we do it today. Because if you know to do good, if you do not do it, it is called what? Sin. Because a revelation is given to us on that day. We can do it on that day. We may not get another chance. Now, 17 talks about ignorance. Now, let's go to 26. Book of Acts 26. 26, I will read from verse 15. So, Apostle Paul, he testifies his own testimony in chapter 26 when he witnessed. He says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So Apostle Paul remembers what the Lord spoke to him, and he gave a testimony to his people. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Like how Peter and John healed the lame who was seated at the outside the beautiful gate, asking for what? Alms. Amen. Remember, that is very beautiful here. That lame was asking for alms. Now the Lord told Apostle Paul, rise and stand upon thy feet. And the book of Ezekiel says, the Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So what the book of Joel talked about in chapter 3? Proclaim ye to all Gentiles and those who worship heathen. Tell them to prepare for war. And the Lord sent Apostle Paul to the Gentiles for them to receive the light. How grateful we should be. How humble we should be. If David remained powerful, If Solomon remained powerful, if all the seeds of David remained powerful, sincere, faithful, not one Gentile would have been left in the world. Because for them, they are heathen. And you would always go against them, they would always destroy us. But the Lord cast a blindness to some to save some. If Esau did not make a mistake, then how come Jacob can receive the birthright? If Cain did not become the murderer, how come Abel can take a name, righteous Abel? Hey, I died for God. You know, someone killed me, this poor guy. If there was no murderer, then there is no Messiah Christ. If there was no Saul, then there is no rise of David. Our flesh will go and see and discern and make divisions. But what if the Lord calls you? I want to hire you as Judas. You walk with me as disciple and you betray me and die. I will teach a good lesson to all my people. For 2,000 years, they will learn from you. Many people will be saved. What will we say? Can I take some other role? How about Apostle Paul? I look like Apostle Paul, you know. How about some messenger? Because we want something good. We want something that fits to our reputation. But the Lord says, bear my reproach. I would say, I can do this. It's very easy. I'll go and tell some people, do you know Jesus? They will tell me, just get away. And I will tell them, it's okay. I'll just leave them. I just endure the shame. No. You're being so strong. To the point whereby we forgot what Apostle Paul said. To win a Jew, I'll be a Jew. Oh, did he say that? He said that. The way the Lord performed his ministry is the same from Old Testament to the very last breath of our life. Same. We must decrease, he must increase. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is absolutely no other way. Because there is no one worthy to be increased in his presence other than him. Because he is called the Lord Almighty. The only one. The only one, the holy one, the mighty one of Israel. And he is in us. We are humbled. Amen? There was a time my father told me once, the moment you think some student in the class is very weak, you are weaker than him. I remember that advice in my life. At first, I could not understand. He said, you are able to establish a thought that you are stronger than him. By doing so, you realize the truth, you are weaker than him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Then what is our strength? The joy of the Lord. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Then who is my strength? Jesus Christ. The thing is, we are all going through different times of our life. Our shield sometimes is compromised. That's it. There is only one who is strong. I am weak, thou art strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Case closed. If the Lord allow us to walk, someone is lame, which means you will be a lame, that someone will cut up and he will come and lift you up. It's just a periodic rotation of God's way of pruning, God's way of blessing us to be tossed and fro, not in a bad way. In a good way to understand, I am nothing without you. Our life has no purpose without God's children in our life. Because they are the closest of God's love that we can taste, that we can touch, that we can speak, that we can sing toward God and toward men. Now bring it together. Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. The power of anointing destroys the yoke. Remember the scripture? Yoke of what? The enemy has some hold, some hook in the mind of people. If we are filled by the Spirit of God, the moment we go nearby, that vessel will feel the agape love of God. When the agape love of God manifests, the power of the anointing destroys the yoke. Jesus Christ appeared unto Saul. Did he explain anything? He asked a question. Why are you persecuting my church? That's it. Saul said, tell me what I should do. No doctrines are taught. No sermon. The seed of God understood itself when the Creator came in front of him and revealed himself to him. A child don't have to be taught. Who is the mother? They can smell. Amen? Now, Apostle Paul says in verse 18 that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What? That is exactly King Solomon said, right? That is exactly King Solomon said. I am in the book of Acts. I thought those old days are over. Apostle Paul come and set up everything again. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Greater is he who is in you. You give God to someone. You give his life to someone. You show his love to someone. Your life is beautiful. That is exactly King Solomon said, Lord, let them take the inheritance, the light, the fire, the water, the washing, and the presence of the Lord that is in the temple to make people to repent and ask for forgiveness. Continually, the flame burns. Trimming. Amen? Now, Apostle Paul said the same thing. But what happens to him? Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. The opportunity was given before he came to Gentiles. Some was rejected because of blindness. Some was accepted because of broken heart and humbleness. Why? There was the realization of the power of true repentance for the Gentiles to be able to receive Christ. I'm a sinner. That they should repent and turn to God and do works need for repentance. So, as we read, it doesn't stop there. We must do works. Exercise myself. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple. Now, here we come. Because Apostle Paul was about to do all of this, Jews caught him. Hey, what are you doing? You rebellious man. What did they do to him? They caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. How dare you to take our God's word and give it to dogs? Then who created those Gentiles? They forgot. No, I'm a superior race. And the Lord said, this is exactly the same blindness the Lord allowed them that they cannot see Jesus Christ. Why? We are here. People are here. God is not there. Now what they say? Apostle Paul, I know you are a Jew, but no choice, you know. You just made us to kill you. Because we are following the rules. We are extremely strict, extremely fervent. And Jesus said, they will drag you out of synagogue and they will kill you, thinking they are doing a service to God. And Apostle Paul, remembering, oh, I was doing the same thing before. Having therefore obtained help of God, so Apostle Paul did not exercise the power that was given to him. Do you know that they can exercise the power? But they did not. He knows what happened to Elijah when he brought fire to burn 40 people here and there. God was not pleased. Apostle Paul, he waited patiently for the help of God because he knows God of Jacob is my help. Amen? What he says, having obtained the help of God. Remember the scripture? Having obtained the grace to serve him. If the Lord has granted the grace to serve him, that is the same help that he gave to escape from everything. Until your grace period lasts. No one can stand against Joshua. Nothing can kill you. Nothing can destroy you without the permission and approval of the Lord Almighty. Because your hairs are numbered. Your tears are counted. Revive, my brethren. Rejoice. Renew your confidence. Do not let doubt enter your heart. That is not glorifying the name of the Lord. Absolute assurance. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. No change in that. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which prophets and Moses did say should come. I am not inventing something new. Look at the way he humbled himself. I am not saying something out of everything. No, he says, I am just repeating the same thing God told to Moses and all the prophets. But when he speaks, there is a change in grace period. The Lord revealed new things. Which means he revealed what he said and he opened it, uncovered it. Whatever was said and done, the Lord uncovered it in the right appointed time of life. That is why we are going through seven church ages. Assembling one bride. Amen? Last two verses he says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first and should rise from the dead and should show the light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. From this is where I was led to Joel chapter 3. Proclaim ye to all Gentiles. I'm coming against them. Prepare the word. Here the Lord sent Apostle Paul to save them. Now, ignorance. This is the word we keep on hearing from Apostle Paul and the resurrection of dead. Let's go to Book of Numbers chapter 15. Book of Numbers chapter 15. Let's look at the words the Lord spoke to Moses, because Apostle Paul just quoted what God told Moses. I'm not saying anything different. I'm saying the same thing. And now let's go back to Numbers 15, verse 22. So here, look at these two words. Ignorance, presumption. Ignorance, sacrifice was made. Presumption, cut off. Something separated. Presumptuous sin. Presuming, predicting in our own desire. 22, they have erred. And if ye have erred and not observed all these commandments, which the Lord has spoken unto Moses. So there is a erring of faith in verse 22. But the root cause of the mistake was not revealed by the one who committed the mistake, but the Lord is speaking. Verse 23, even all that the Lord had commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses, and henceforward among your generations. And this generation is what Apostle Paul is echoing in the book of Acts. We are not saying anything different other than what God told to prophets and Moses. Amen? Now, up to here is okay. But look at the next verse. Then it shall be, verse 24, then. I mentioned, then means process. The Lord is going through step by step process. Then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation. Surprise. I thought the knowledge of God's perfect will, knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of the Holy Spirit, knowledge of the Lord's hand in my life. Verse 24. If aught be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, that all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering, according to the manner, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering. Why the whole congregation offers this sacrifice for one who made a mistake of ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation? The word here is ignorance. Why the Lord called all of his priests to offer sacrifice to him? Is it for ourselves? Every single ignorant sin that is committed in this world, for the Lord to have mercy upon them, to bring them back to the marvelous light, someone must offer the sacrifice unto him, one way or other. All the congregation, I am reading the same scripture as you. That is why in the New Testament, when the Bible says, when one part of the body suffers, all go and suffer with it. For what? There is no other way. And you don't do it for the sake of doing it. You do it because agape have dominion on your mind. Because you are ruled by the mind of Christ. When the church submits to the head, who is Christ? If not, we always need to think 1,000 times to align ourselves with compulsion and to do something because we want to fulfill some checklist. It won't work. So this ignorant sin that was committed, that had to be undone by sacrifice made by all congregation. Amen? Now let's go down. Verse 25. and the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. Come on. Why should I embrace the shame of ignorance? I'm not ignorant. I'm so smart, so wise. If Miriam is resting in the tent, I will just go on my way. The Lord says, whole congregation halted, wait for 7 days. No one take one single step. Without that sheep, the bride is not complete. There will be no marriage of the land until the very last seed sits in the table of supper. None. The shepherd will not come. He is all about wholeness. Shalom. Wholeness. Perfect completion. Fullness. Nothing more, nothing less. My grace is sufficient to thee. Do you realize how important the people of God in your life? Not just here. Those whom the Lord allowed us to experience His love. Overseas. In other countries. Here. Without them, you are not complete. We are not complete without each other. It says here, verse 25, and they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. This is the fire that we are talking about, which can be strange fire. If it is strange fire, no matter if you are the sons of Aaron, you will be burnt in the sight of the Lord, for God is no respecter of persons. None can escape Him. Because all our goodness is because of Him who is good. Amen? So now, this ignorance, the Lord dealt it with sacrifice. So when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when He offered Himself as sacrifice, now think very deeply, to whom He offered Himself as a ransom for many? To whom He shed the blood? To whom He sacrificed His life? To those who do not know Him. To him that is ignorant. The creation do not even know who is the creator. Ignorance. The blindness of Jews, ignorant, because they don't know. They only know what has been revealed to them up to the point of the law of Moses. That doesn't mean, I feel very bad. We feel very bad. If they were strong, none of us would be alive today. If Esau did not give the birthright, Jacob is not receiving it. Someone failed for you to win. Someone died for you to live. Someone took the shame for you to have the admiration, appreciation. Do you know how accountable we should be? How accountable we should be, not responsible, accountable. Do I have accountability for my brother, for my sister, for my stranger, for my colleague, whom did not receive what I received? What I should do? Which means the Lord wants me to do something. What I should do? Am I doing it? It's a question. If there is no pruning, the tree will not bear more fruit. It's scripture. The Lord prune the tree that it may bear more fruit. Amen? But we only want to grow the tree. Grow, grow, grow. How far it will grow? Even the highest cedar of Lebanon will be brought down. How far you want to grow? Look at the verse when he continues in verse 26. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of Israel, and the stranger that sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. What? Stranger sojourneth among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. When Moses became a father, he called himself, now I have become a stranger in the strange man land. Did he say that? Aren't we all strangers to this earth? If we know the Lord, we are strangers. This is not our home. There is a better place. We are all strangers. But when we are sojourned among them, if you don't even know what is ignorant, what is presumptuous sin, then the discernment of the Lord is compromised. When the discernment is compromised, we will say presumptuous as ignorance, ignorance as presumptuous. You will judge opposite side. We are not Isaac or Jacob to switch our hands to bless people. ignorance is being addressed here so far. Now, continue. People were in ignorance, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. No destruction was mentioned. No cutoff was mentioned. No judgment was mentioned. Sacrifice was mentioned. Ignorance, sacrifice. Next verse. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord. If every man must bear his own cross, then why the priest offer something for someone who sinned in ignorance? And Moses told Aaron, I took your sin. Now, do you understand what happened? And Jesus told all of us, I took your shame. I took your sin. Feeling so confident? I took your sin. Let it echo in our heart. Jesus took my sin. That is why I am who I am today. Someone, the Holy One, sacrificed himself for me, who I am. Rest of our life, we should stay humble. No other option. Because Apostle Paul said, the Lord commanded them to repent everywhere. How come repentance can take place if there is no humbleness? Impossible. Humbleness, repentance goes together. Can't be separated. Now, let's read the next verse. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. Who is the stranger? Some were born in the house of Abraham and some were purchased. And we say he paid a debt that I cannot pay. How much we can pay back to him for the blood that was shed on Calvary? How much? Brother Rolly was praying today. We offer our life as a living sacrifice. You are not paying back. You can never pay back. You offer. Let him decide whether he accept or not. That's all we can do. Even if the whole world shed their blood for the Lord, it is not equal to one single precious drop of the blood of Jesus Christ, because he created you. How can we bring him on par with us? The whole earth could not contain the books written about him. That is how great he is. The only unknown, we can say boastingly, I don't know how great he is. Scripture says his greatness cannot be measured. Revelation 19:12 says, the name of the Lord, it is written in his thigh. No man know. You can say boastfully, I don't know. Because scripture says, no man know. But everything else, you should know. I should know. If I don't even know about myself, how can I say I know Jesus Christ? If a part of the world don't even know itself, how can we say, I know Jesus Christ? Those who are counted faithful in small things will be counted faithful in great things. Great God Almighty, greater is He. Small. David said, who I am, my Lord? For you to look down and just consider me small. If I don't even understand myself, if I don't even know my strength and weakness, then you would misplace ignorance and presumption. Play with God's word. Don't do it. We can't do it. Why? Looks. Look at the next step, how the Lord unfolds it. Verse 30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, it is exactly what we do. And exactly why we do, but we look for scripture to justify. 1 Chronicles or 1 Corinthians. Oh, that is a word. Okay, justified. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. Thank you, Lord, for comforting me. No, let's don't swim in the pool of lies. Let's come out. Let's go to the fountain of life, the sweet river that washes thoroughly. It will hit us into the rock. It's fine. We won't die. Presumptuously. Whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the Lord says, I don't care because he is righteous. The same reproacheth the law that showed we shall be cut off from among his people. Jesus said, the branch that does not bear fruit shall be cut off. What is the fruit? I want mighty gifts. What gifts you want? How many gifts you want? If Jesus is not seen in my life, to some stranger, what that gift profited? Nothing. Zero. If I can't share Jesus in my words, in my life, to my loved ones, everything profited nothing. If I'm not getting better day by day, everything I learned, nothing. People know doctrines much better than us. That doesn't make any to be spiritual. What is spiritual? The one who was crucified next to Jesus, the wisest of all, even compared to the disciples, he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. He knows his sin. He repented in a way. Jesus said, you shall be with me today in paradise. Not tomorrow, today. That is wisdom. In the house of the Lord, where the Lord stands, he saw the tree of life, he humbled himself. The Lord took him. Now, he says, because he had despised the word of the Lord and had broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. These kind of verses, denomination churches would never read. Why? If they make people angry, they will lose the profit. It's a business strategy. Run away from that filthy place. We are here to fall into the double-edged sword for us to come back as a tree, as the branches are beautiful, like the tree of life. If the Father does not chasten us, that means he has taken his hands off. None of us want him to take his hands off. And the Lord says, I will know my children who endure my chastening. Because I know they cannot do this without my spirit in them. You see how you discern it? Now, 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. The Lord is my Sabbath. He is my rest. And he is my day of salvation. Correct? Now keep it in your mind. Now go down. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses. Imagine Abraham, the father of Isaac, placed some wood on the shoulder. And Isaac looks at the wood. I don't like it. What is this? Very sharp wood hurting my shoulder. Something wrong. And Isaac go look for some sticks that is good for him. I like green stick, I like blue stick, I like red stick. And he placed on the shoulder. When you go to the altar of sacrifice, when Abraham sees the stick, if it was not the one that he placed on his shoulder, there is no sacrifice. The sword can be, the knife can be in the hand of Abraham. The altar can be ready. But if the stick that Isaac was carrying was not the one that was meant to burn, in that strange fire, no sacrifice. Cancel. The Lord of my Sabbath, if we go and pick sticks in God's gatherings, in God's work, pick sticks, our own thoughts. Let's do this. Let's try this. Let's twist it. What he says? And they put him in what? Because it was not declared what should be done to him. Now, do we understand the gracious period that we all enjoyed? The Lord did not stone us to death when we were sinners. He looked at the ignorance that we don't know him. He showed mercy. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with the stones without the camp. And we shall bear the reproach outside the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. And they did this to Stephen. What? They did this to God's people. Because they were so stiff. Taking everything without context. When you and me were submerged or went inside the water in the baptism, our old man died, new man came out. Amen? But the chief cornerstone, the foundation that is sure, and he made the dead stone to sink in his ocean of love, and he bring the lively stone to come out. Amen? And he stopped picking the sticks. Reasons to excuse, reasons to run away, reasons to hate, reasons to hide. All the sticks, the Lord said, throw it away. Carry the cross, deny yourself, follow me. That is the new man came out of that water. And we shall remain as that new man. If we replace the cross with different stick, then the Godhead is compromised. Now let's turn to the book of Luke. How beautifully Jesus unfolds it. Book of Luke, chapter 17. The Gospel. 17, verse 28. Verse 28. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but it doesn't matter. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The story of Lot is over. It's about to repeat when he takes his bride out. It will repeat itself when he takes his bride out. When Rahab is restored, when Lot is restored, it will repeat. Everything that was built by men, for men, will be burned to the ground. And the Lord said, that is how Son of Man revelation is going to be. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. One single verse, remember the Lord's wife. So she became a spectacle of the pillar of salt for turning back. No turning back, no turning back. She wanted to see what's happening to all that she loves. And she remained as a pillar of salt right there. Because instruction was given, word was spoken. Ignorance cannot take its excuse. It became presumption. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. What a beautiful verse it is. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. His life, the Lord did not say my life. Because there is only one life, the true life. In order for us to claim the true life, we people who are walking dead, we should lose the life of death. For us to claim the life, the only life, the true life, Jesus Christ. The book of Romans is so beautiful. It called all of us, we were walking dead. Hey, I thought I was alive. Yes, you were alive in death. Now you are alive in life. Amen? Now, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, that one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field and the one shall be taken and the other left. Among the two who were crucified, right and left, one was taken, other was left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, wherever the congregation is, wherever the temple is, wherever the Lord's presence is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Because we are created in the likeness and image of God, the great Jehovah, eagle. And the eagles gather together where there is body, where there is meat, the truth. Now, one chapter after 18, I want us to continue in the same flow of river. Chapter 18, verse 9. Jesus Christ is unfolding further and further, so beautifully. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, gathering his own sticks, trusting in themselves, that is gathering our own sticks, that they were righteous and despised others. There was a point. Because of the law of Moses, Jews became so righteous, started despising everyone else. Which also proven to be the reason for the Lord to punish them with blindness. Because God cannot do anything for the sake of doing. He is righteous. He knows his children, how they will be when he takes his hands off. He showed us Ezekiah. Now, Jesus says, two men went up into the temple to pray. Now remember what King Solomon said in the temple concerning prayers, concerning how the Lord hears from heaven, concerning how the Lord forgives. King Solomon beautifully said, Apostle Paul clearly said how the Lord deals with Gentiles and Jews about forgiveness. Now the two men went into temple not to pray in agreement. One was praying on one side, another was praying on one side. two different prayers by two different vessels, but they could have prayed together. But what the Lord says here, the Pharisee and other a publican. The Lord distinguished by the roles or the profession. Pharisee and a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. The moment my heart thinks, oh, I pity for the publican, I am worse than that publican. Why? That is not wisdom. That is pride. That is self-exclamation, self-exaltation. Because in the presence of the Lord, the flesh will vomit. Nothing can be kept inside the heart. Out of the abundance, good or bad, the Lord will take it out. He made a comparison and he said, I fast twice in the week, you know, I'm very spiritual. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm very punctual, very sincere. I give everything, declaring the track record to the presence of the Lord who give you the track record. And the publican standing afar off. Why? He could not come before. He was scared. He was filled with the fear of God that I am a sinner. I don't deserve to stand before. I shall stand afar off. Like the woman who had the two minas, that she just gave it. That's all I have. And the Lord said, there is no other faith that I see than her, what she showed now. Right? Now this man who humbled himself, broken heart, contrite spirit, and told the Lord, I'm not worthy to stand in thy presence. Forgive me. And what happened? He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I tell you, he says, God merciful to me, a sinner. He repented. Truly, in a way, the truth smells his repentance. True repentance. Complete submission. And Jesus Christ speak about him. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The Lord who calleth, the Lord who justified. Then who called him from his house? Rather than the other, the Lord made a comparison now. Because he is not making comparison. He separates where he stands, where he identifies himself, where his name is glorified. And the one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is the parable. The Lord continues after he talked about the city, the Lot, and the body, the eagles gathered together. No, but did he stop there? He didn't stop. He continued in chapter 19 to unfold even more so beautifully. Chapter 19, verse 1. I love this story. Because when I was a child, I used to act as this man in the school drama. I think I was 8 or 10 years old. I don't remember. But there were two dramas in the school. I had to act as a blind man in one drama. Next year, the previous year, I had to act as the man Zacchaeus. In my language, I call him Zacchaeus. Because there is no J in my language. You call him Y. Esu. Jeremiah. Not Jeremiah. All Ye. And this man is very close to my heart. Because of the way the Lord spoke to him. You see, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And which was the chief among the publicans. We just heard about a publican story. And the Lord shows a real life demonstration. Because you know what? He means business, my brethren. He means business. He show, he do. He say and show. He's all in all. And which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. But that doesn't matter. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. There was a desperate desire that he could not quench. He wanted to see him. A longing. Like how we say, come Lord Jesus quickly. Because he sought Jesus who he was, but he could not for the press because he was little of stature. Our mind will immediately presume a visualize a man who is shot. That is not the message here. That was never the message here. And he ran before and climbed up to the higher ground into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Which way? That way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. I thought he is above Jesus, but he looked up and saw him. Looked ahead of Jesus, he saw him. And said unto him, Jesus Christ, when he came, he saw Zacchaeus because he was climbing on the tree. Jesus looked up to his seat and told him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today, when I read the words, my heart was dancing. I must. He did not say, can I come to your house? He did not say, can we have a discussion? He did not say, do you prepare dinner for me? He didn't even say, like David, can you build a temple? No option. The Lord said, I must. I must. What a beautiful blessing it is. I must. Like how Jacob wrestled and the angel said, I can't leave you without blessing you. I must bless you. And Jesus said, I must abide at thy house. And King Solomon said, Lord, abide in my house. And Jesus said to him, I must abide at thy house because of the works that you did. You were longing, expecting me, expecting for me. You were running here and there, found a tree. And do you know who planted the tree? Me. Do you know who made the tree to be of such height that you will climb and see me? Me. I am who I am. The creator of all things. And which tree we will have the right in the book of Revelation, when we do his commandments, the tree of life. Those who do his commandments will have the right to access the tree of life. And Zacchaeus was exercising himself, running here and there, because he was small. In his weakness, the name of the Lord was glorified, because he was looking for a tree, he could not see Jesus. He had to climb up the higher ground. Spiritually, he will place you on the higher ground, on the tree of life. And he sees Jesus. Jesus, come. I want to abide in you. I must. The word must is assurance you have. The word must is the confidence that we should have. Amen? What he said? And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Without joy, there is no strength. Can we come to church without joy? Can we sing songs? And can we expect the song to go to heaven? Forget it. We can be burdened, we can cry, but we can sing song in peace, in contentment. The Lord is with me. I am weak, I am struggling, I am painful, but the Lord is with me. I will sing with joy and peace. That can never depart us. Neither death nor sorrow, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Amen? Scripture, I am not speaking. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. What is this? What is this? Let's catch this Apostle Paul. Stone him to death. Stiffness. They could not even understand what Jesus Christ was doing. He just gave a parable 2 chapters before. It repeats over and over again. And Jesus, when Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, stood. Behold, Lord, he stand before the altar, like King Solomon, like the priest, like the people, before the Son of Man. And what he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You may not see the true discussion that is behind the words written here. But he completely surrendered himself to the Lord. And telling the Lord, Lord, people call me rich, but I am nothing in front of thee. If you gave me something, that is a purpose, but I am nothing without you. And what the Lord said? And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He is the salvation. He entered the house and he said, I must abide in thy house. Which means, I must save you. The joy that was set before me. He endured the cross. Why? He must save us. Not may. Must. He did not take the pillar of cloud.
He does not take the pillar of fire. He must lead the people of Israel. It is us who turn our back. He never turned back. Us who turn back. And what he said, for as he also is a son of Abraham, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Jews cannot accept this. What? It's our trophy. It's our territory. Don't share our inheritance with anyone. And Jesus said, before Abraham was I. I say what I say. And we Gentiles receive the salvation because of blindness of Jews. We are called to stand before him in that gratefulness. Amen. The last verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that was lost. That is the last verse of this beautiful, beautiful story. But what do you learn from here? Because the case was small, little in stature, he had to climb the tree, right? Or is it? Luke, same gospel, chapter 2, verse 53. Let's read it. Chapter 2, verse 52. Book of Luke, 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And he called all of us children, correct? Why? Children grow from little stature to some level. And what is the level? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and, please tell me, and man. And Apostle Paul said, toward God and toward man. No one is telling anything new. It's been there. It was always there. It was all spoken. Jesus increased himself in wisdom and stature in favor of God and man. He is called the Son of Man. Now let's go to what stature that we are talking about. Ephesians chapter 4. Do not simply misunderstand, underestimate the story of Zacchaeus. It is us who are growing in his stature. Chapter 4, verse Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, I believe. 13, yes, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. So, there is assembling, gathering, like eagles gather to one body, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until then, we run, seek the higher ground to see where Jesus Christ is going, what he is doing, and for him to look up and say, I must abide in thy house, the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what this is richness that we talk about, book of Luke, chapter 17, 18, 19, Revelation, as we close, chapter 3, as we close, book of Revelation, chapter 3. The seventh church age, how the Lord sees it and how the Lord calls us. Chapter 3. Verse 17. Let's remember the parable of publican and Pharisee. Remember the story of the publican. Remember how the Lord speaks about himself. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Which fire? That thou mayest be rich. Which richness? And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear again. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. The next verse is so beautiful. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. But we always take the word zealous for I have the zeal to serve the Lord. Remember the church of Laodicea, the seventh church age, how it is addressed in the book of Revelation. Be zealous therefore, repent. Seventh church age, the last gasp of compassion city. And the Lord said, Be zealous and repent. It's going to come to an end. No time. But we always want to be zealous to serve. But we never think about having the zealous to repent. Why? For us it's done. Is it so? Then why Jesus Christ is telling this to Apostle John? In the book of Revelation, he knows every church age, how they would behave, what struggle that they will go through, what challenges that we may experience. He knows. The Lord who knows all things, he spoke. Behold, I stand at the door. Here comes the altar. People stood before the altar. Priests stood at the altar. Jesus Christ stood before the door. Stood at the altar. Stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Zacchaeus, remember the name. He did that, right? Jesus said, I must abide with thee in your house. He didn't say, can I come? He said, I will come, my seed. I know you will open the door, my seed, because you are searching for me with expectation. You are running for me in longing of your heart. You have desperately looking for me to see my face to the point whereby you forgot that you are short, weak. You climbed up above the tree where no one did. They that fear the Lord above many. He was lifted up like an eagle above the storm. And Jesus saw him. Why this eagle is flying above the storm? Come, my eagle, let's have food together. And he said the same thing for the church of Laodiceans. Come, eagle, let's eat together. I will sup with you if you open the door. And he with me, I am in you, you are in me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And I am set down with my Father in his throne, always giving back everything to the Father in heaven. The word of God. In the beginning there was word, and the word was God, but God was not the word. Always remember what we were taught in the word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But this has become completely confounded. Those who receive the ear are those who receive doctrine. It's a lie. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For every church ages, the Lord wants to pass a message on that day. If we are not listening, the voice of the Lord will never go inside us. If it does not go inside Jerusalem, the fire that devours that will not go before. If the devouring fire does not go before, the beast will come and dance with you. The flame behind you will be put off. When everything is compromised, we will just witness. The Lord will say, I will cleanse the blood, which I have not cleansed. And in the multitudes of multitudes, in the valley of decision, he would make a judgment. He would sit in Zion. And he knows ignorance, he knows presumptions. We shall run away from presumptuous thoughts, predictive behaviors that are contrary against scripture. Amen? May the Lord bless us that we are one family, sharing one blood, having one name on the forehead. There are only two things possible in the house of God. Denial, betrayal. What happened to Jesus is what will happen to his church. We don't want to be the one who deny someone, but we want to be the one who deny myself. We don't want to be the one who betray someone, but we want to be the one who betray the world man. I don't want to commune with you. I betray you because I follow Christ. May the Lord guide us. The Lord will lead us. Amen. Let's all stand as we close and pray. For the Lord's eyes are upon his house. If not, we will not see the light. Amen. Let's all rejoice. For what we have is what we don't deserve. Because the one who is worthy, he called all of us to be worthy because we are not worthy. But we are worthy in his word. So we have to discern. Without losing confidence, we have to maintain the humbleness. Amen. Without compromising assurance, we have to maintain the humility. It's not challenging. It is the Lord's leading. We submit to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. for the eyes that are watching over all of us, the beautiful eyes, the eyes of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the voice that we listen from your scripture that calls all of us, encourage all of us that you are with us in the valley or in the mountain, through the storm or through the sea or through the valley. Lord, you are always with us, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand that there is a fire that makes a way for us. For God is the consuming fire. And that way, O Lord, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. And Lord, we pray, help us, Lord, that we remain sensitive in thy presence, in thy temple, which was built for the glory of the Lord, for all of us to grow, to reach, to attain the measure of the fullness of Christ. As we love one another, for God is in every one of us. As we serve one another, for Jesus Christ who washed our feet, the creator of all things. And Lord, we pray, help us to remain humble, to remain sincere, to remain loving one another, to remain in Jerusalem for the word that is coming out of Jerusalem. That we must remain in Jerusalem for all the eagles gather together where the body is, where the body of Christ is. And we are the body of Christ, and you are the head of this body. We thank you, Lord, for all things. We thank you for all the brothers and sisters and the strangers and the new souls whom you will touch through our lives. Lord, we thank you. Help us to stay purposeful. Help us to live a life that is meaningful in thy sight. In Jesus Christ's name, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.